series on integrity as examined through the life of Daniel. The first week we talked about the definition of integrity. Last week we talked about the testing of our integrity. And today we're going to talk about the rewards of integrity. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 6, starting with verse 18. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. I'll give you a second to find it. Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." And now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave this command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In way of a quick and brief overview, in our first week we looked at the definition of integrity and essentially defined it as to not be complicated with ulterior motives, to be simple in everything that you do, to have one goal, one purpose, to serve God with all that you are, all that you have, all that is within you, that we are to serve God no matter what. Amen. We looked at Daniel and how his life exemplified that definition of integrity, and how he refused to compromise who he was in Christ in order to keep his position of privilege or to attain blessing. And last week we looked at how his life of integrity, his service to God, and how everything that he did as if he was doing it for God. And so he served the king faithfully, and he never murmured against the king, and he never said bad things against the king to those around him. And so the king promoted him. And when those around him found out, they became jealous and they attacked Daniel, and they found no fault in him. They found nothing that they could bring against him except Daniel's love and service and devotion to God. And they acknowledged this much, and so they had the king decree that any person who prayed or made any request to any other being besides the king would be punished by death by being fed to the lions. What I find interesting here is that it was a lack of integrity that started this situation to begin with, because the king lacked integrity. His pride, his arrogance, the people that served him came in and they puffed him up to make him feel good about himself. And because of that, because he was not acting in integrity, he acted in pride and selfishness, he allowed them to convince him to sign a rule into law stating that if anyone prayed to anyone but him, they would be punished. But then what's also interesting is that it was an act of integrity that brought this silly situation to an end and showed an entire nation the power of God. So it was a lack of integrity that kicked this chain of events off, but it was a life of integrity that brought glory to God to an entire nation. And so as we find ourselves here in verse 18 of chapter 6, we have found that Daniel has actually been thrown into the den of the lions. And the Bible says, and we looked at last week, that the king actually said to Daniel, just before Daniel was pushed in, and just before the stone was rolled in place, he said to Daniel, Daniel, I know, I believe that the God whom you serve faithfully will deliver you. He did not say, I think he will, he might, I sure hope he will. He said, I know that the God whom you serve will deliver you. This pagan king would worship pagan gods and false gods. Daniel's life of integrity had impacted him greatly. And so we find here in verse 18 that once the king has sealed the stone and Daniel's fate had been determined, that he left and went back to the palace. But what's very interesting is that when he got back to the palace, he could not sleep. He could not eat. And when they came to do his normal entertainment for the evening, he refused it. The Bible says that sleep fled from him. It left him. He was so worried about his friend Daniel that he could not sleep. I find it interesting that this pagan king was so attached to this one person who had been a captive, a slave. And yet he found himself attached and befriended this guy in such a way that when it came time that Daniel had to sacrifice his life for what he believed, the king was distraught and upset. And so the first thing that I want to look at today, the very first principle that I want us to take away, is that integrity will lead to lasting friendships. We just read in verses 18 through 20 how the king was distraught and how he could not sleep and how as soon as light broke, as soon as it was light enough for you to see, he left the palace and went straight to the den of lions. He had not slept all night long, and as soon as light broke the sky and he could see, he went to check on his friend Daniel. And so, integrity will lead to lasting friendships. Friendships are so invaluable in our lives. When we impact people around us, when they see that we're faithful, that we're trustworthy, that we don't have ulterior motives, that we're not selfish, but we are selfless, that we care more about others than we care about ourselves, we will draw people to us. It is a rare commodity in this world to have individuals who are actually more concerned about others than they are about themselves. And so when you exhibit that behavior, people will be drawn to it. And they will want to have a relationship with you because they know that they can be whoever they are in front of you and you will not judge them. That they can be whoever they are, they can confide in you, that they can make themselves accountable to you because they know that above all else that you are loved, love them, that you're faithful to them, and that you will honor that friendship. And so when you live a life of integrity before God and everything that you do is as if you are doing it to God, it will cause people to gravitate towards you. And friendships in this day and age are so important at any age. From a child to a teenager to an adult to a grandparent, friendships are valuable. When God created us, He did not create us to to be isolated or separated. He created us to have relationships with other people. And friendships are critical. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If you surround yourself with wise friends, there is safety. There is protection. When you surround yourself with wise friends, they will give you godly counsel and they will help keep you accountable. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That means a friend who truly loves you, a valuable, lasting friendship, when they correct you or provide guidance or direction or they hurt you, you know they are doing so in love and in your best interest. But the kisses, the flattery, the praise of an enemy can be your downfall. And we see that so seen and exemplified in the life of Daniel and this king. Daniel surrounded himself with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He went to them. They went to them for guidance and to pray with them. And he lived a life of integrity. But the king had nothing but yes men who told him how great he was. And as a result, he signed a law into action that could not be overturned, that would end up causing him to have to throw his best friend into the den of lions. And so good friends are hard to come by. Good friends are difficult to hold on to. We take our friends for granted. A friend is that person that you could go months without talking to and then pick up right where you left off. A friend is that person who, even when everybody else walks away, when everybody else betrays you, everybody else turns their back upon you, that person is still there to stand beside you. And that is a precious commodity in this day and age. In a day and age of selfishness and self-centeredness, having a friend who will stick close to you no matter what is unusual. Because as soon as I do not meet that person's needs, they no longer have a use for me. But in a true friendship, I'm more worried about meeting your needs than about you meeting my needs. And because I meet your needs, you as a friend should have that same desire to meet my needs. And you are mutually beneficial instead of one being a parasite to the other. In the Bible, we have many examples of friends. There was David and Jonathan. David was so much the friend of Jonathan, and Jonathan was so dedicated to David as his friend that when Jonathan met David, they kind of clicked it off. They clicked. They knew that they liked each other, that they had things in common, and as a result, Jonathan actually acknowledged that David had been anointed as king, and so when he went to David, he gave David his outer garment. He gave David his decorative shawl. He gave David his bow and his weapons as an act to say, David, you are my friend, and I acknowledge that God has chosen you as king over Israel. I submit to you. And David lived a life of integrity in front of Jonathan and in front of Saul, Jonathan's dad, who was the king. So much so that Saul tried to kill David, and Saul plotted to kill David. And we find in chapter 20 of 1 Samuel that Jonathan actually told David, betrayed his father to save David's life because of friendship. They connected. They had a true and lasting friendship that was about each other, not just about one person. It was a healthy friendship built upon integrity. The second principle that I want to look at is that our integrity will lead to God's protection. We see in verses 21 through 23 that when Daniel went to the king, or when the king went to Daniel and he said to Daniel, are you okay? Did your God rescue you? Daniel cried out and said, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. And then he said down in verse 23, Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." God is faithful and just to protect us. If we are living lives of integrity and we are serving Him, and as a result we sacrifice ourselves and we sacrifice who we are in order to not compromise our relationship with God, He will protect us. Psalms chapter 91 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. My mom used to pray it over and over again when I was a kid, and it has stuck with me to this day. In this chapter, it talks about the provision of protection that God places upon the life of those who serve Him with integrity. Verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High," meaning someone who has a relationship with God, someone who knows God, someone who spends time with God, someone who serves God. It is that person who is under the shadow of the Almighty. I cannot exist under the shadow of Almighty, under the protection of Almighty, if I do not serve Him, if I do not have a relationship of integrity with Him. If I compromise myself, I cannot abide in His shadow. But if I have that relationship with Him, I do abide in His shadow, and as a result, I am protected. He says, "He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, and shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Verse 7, one of my favorites. "A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near to you." The enemy may be attacking. The enemy may be destroying everyone around you that does not know God. But if you keep your eyes centered upon Him, God will protect you. God will keep you. God will not let you go. One thing that we are promised in Scripture is that when I know Christ as Lord and Savior, no matter what happens to me on this earth, when I get to heaven, I will know all peace. I will spend eternity with Him. I will forever be in the protection of Almighty God, and never again will I suffer. God promises protection, but sometimes that protection is not revealed until I get to heaven. He'll keep us. He'll protect us. The Bible says that He will keep you if you truly love Him. Amen. That He will keep you close by. That He will protect you. No matter what is happening around you, no matter how the enemy is behaving around you, they cannot come near you. "And only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall cast upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." If I live a life of integrity and I refuse to compromise myself in Christ, God will protect me. Just as He did Daniel, God will provide protection. Many times, however, we act in ways that are not in integrity, and then we wonder why God does not protect us. And we get mad at God, and we get angry at God, and we wonder why God has not delivered us by His mighty hand, and it is because I made my own mess. And there are consequences to my behavior. And no matter how much faith you have, there will always be consequences to lapses in integrity. Even people who love God, they mess up, and there are consequences for those mistakes. And so many times we will question God's protection when it is you and I who step out of His will. God does protect if we do not compromise ourselves and Him. The next point I'd like to make is that our integrity will lead people to God. We see in verses 25 through 27 that when the king saw that Daniel had been delivered from the mouths of the lions, and he had cast the accusers and those who had been false servants into the lion's den along with their families, their wives, their children, were cast into the den of lions, the king made a proclamation. And he made this proclamation to the entire nation, in which he said that God, the God of Daniel, was the only true God. And I love how he ends it, because he ends it by saying, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Now, many people talk about how cruel it was for the king to have turned around and fed the others to the lions. But I want you to look at it from this perspective. Had the lions not been fed with those who had been the accusers of Daniel, people could have very easily said, well, the lions were not hungry that day.
That's right.
Oh, those lions weren't hungry. They left them alone. But the Bible says, in the minute that those people were thrown in, the lions devoured them before they hit the ground. So anyone that was witnessing, the king, any soldiers, no one could say, well, the lions were toothless. They weren't hungry. They were sitting in the corner sleeping, because those jokers were hungry and they ate the man and their entire families. Surely they would have devoured Daniel had it not been for the hand of God who was placed in there, who shut the mouths of the lions. And so God demonstrated His awesome might and His awesome power. Yes, evil was punished, but it was also shown to the king that they were hungry, and I did shut the mouths of the lions.
That's right.
The king made this decree to all the land that God of Daniel was the God whom they should serve. That it was His kingdom that would last forever. And I truly believe, just like with King Nebuchadnezzar before him, that this king came to know the God of Daniel. Because of Daniel's life of integrity, he had touched the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar could not deny who God was, and he believed in the God that Daniel served.
Yes.
And the same thing happened here with Darius. King Darius could not deny the God whom Daniel served. And so Darius called upon God and made a decree that everyone in the kingdom should worship Daniel's God. Daniel impacted the lives of at least two pagan kings with his life of integrity. And those who did not heed his warning, the king that followed Nebuchadnezzar, he did not heed Daniel. In fact, he forgot who Daniel was until God wrote upon the wall with his finger and pronounced the judgment and the death of that king. That king had forgotten the God of Daniel. And the Bible says that he went and he gathered all of the precious items that had been in the temple that had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar Daniel was. He had forgotten the God that Daniel served, and God pronounced judgment. For that very night, the Persians and the Medes invaded, and they became the rulers over what used to be Babylon. Daniel's life of integrity impacted those around him for God. And if you and I live lives of integrity, even when people are jealous, even when people try to mock us, even when people try to discredit us in some way, if we have kept ourselves pure, if we have not compromised who we are in Christ, our relationship with Him, no fault will be found, and it will be a light to this world. Because people of integrity are rare in our world today. People who are not selfish or self-centered are rare. And we will lead people to God if we live lives of integrity. Serving Him. Refuse to compromise. Oh, there'll be the people that don't like us, that stand against us, who want to hurt us in some way or discredit us in some way. But if we have not compromised ourselves in God, they will find no fault in us. And as a result, God will be glorified and magnified. And the last principle that I would like to point out is found in verse 28. It says, so that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Integrity will lead to God's blessing. Daniel prospered. Webster's dictionary defines prosper as flourishing or succeeding. Many times in our society today, we define God's blessing. We define prosperity as monetary blessing. That is one piece. Prosperity is success. Prosperity is God's favor. Prosperity is good health. Prosperity is good children. Prosperity is a good wife or a good husband. It's not about homes or cars or money or things. It's about the things that are intangible. The things that we will take with us, not the things that we leave behind. And so God issues His favor in our lives. He gives us favor in the eyes of men. He gives us influence in the lives of men. Daniel was a servant and a slave, but God prospered him. He prospered everything that he had. He gave him lasting relationship. He gave him influence that no other person in the kingdom had. Because he lived a life of integrity. We so many times as Christians, especially in this materialistic world that we live in, we put such high regard on things. And we forget that way more important than things is God's favor. Amen. And God's granting of influence in our lives. You and I were sent here. We accepted Christ, and God has a mission for us. That is to reach a lost and a dying world for Him. You don't do that through things. You do that through living a life of integrity. Because I can have all the money and I can feed as many people as I can feed, and I can clothe as many people as I can clothe and be a pagan heathen. Caring for people is so much more than just providing material things. It is also providing the message of God's love and hope. Meeting both the physical needs and the spiritual needs. And that can only be done when we live lives of integrity and God places His favor on our lives so that people listen. If I do not respect you, I will not listen to what you have to say nor heed your words. For I can say all the awesome things and all the right things with my mouth, but if my actions say something completely different, I will not heed what you have to say. We must live lives of integrity for God's blessing and provision to be upon us, that favor, that influence that He can grant us, not things, but intangible, the intangibles, the things that are hard to quantify, the things that are hard to measure. Psalms 84:11 says, for the God is our sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Our integrity will lead and will be rewarded if we will hold on and not compromise ourselves. There are rewards that are directly for me, but there are rewards for those around me if I will live a life of integrity. And so I hope that this last three lessons have at least planted some seed in your heart of what integrity is, and standing firm when our integrity is tested, and understanding the rewards and the benefits of integrity, of living a life of integrity.